Beaver Man, talk to me.
All right, two things. First, some brain surgeon dumped a bunch of wet concrete out on Rawson Boulevard between 31st and 32nd Street.
As in hard concrete, set concrete?
No, as in wet, slimy, slickery concrete with rocks in it.
Yeah, that was smart.
And so there was two guys standing around watching one guy with a shovel try to clean it up. With no flashing lights, no cones, nothing. Just beware. And hey, I wonder if you could talk to Omar and ask Omar what he thinks about term limits.
Well,
he's been in that a long time.
Yeah.
Now, I know Omar. I've actually been canoeing and fishing with Omar.
Yep.
A long time ago, he was friends of friends of mine's dad, and when we were kids, used to go up there and hang out. But ask Omar what he thinks about term limits how possibly getting different people in position more regularly might help diffuse the
bilateral
problems.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. We the amount of time that we have to spend with him has been shrunken, unfortunately, and I did figure we'd have enough time to actually get off just the one topic and get to some other things, but that would have to happen.
He's calling right
fast.
Now.
You don't want to go. All right, we will not go to the commercial.
If we as voters are very upset with the idea of somebody being in office too long, we can vote them out. We have that power every time they run. We don't do it.
No, we must not be that upset. We always say we're going to. Real quick, Northgate Doors, different from the competition. How? Well, they're local, completely, utterly. And they have been in the business for 45 years, and they are completely complaint-free with the BBB. That's because they satisfy all of their customers. Their customers go out to Bonnie Oaks Drive to the showroom, or they call 855-3939, or they go to the website, northgatedoors.com, and they get Clopay garage doors or entry doors, number one in the country, and everybody is satisfied, and everybody's cool, and everybody's happy. I certainly am with mine, and I got them from Northgate Doors, and you will be too. And if you go out there and get you some doors, be there entry doors, front and back. And I mean, the styles are remarkable that you can choose from. Or if it's a garage door, you will be satisfied. Northgate Doors, again, 855-3939, northgatedoors.com. All right, we're going to make an executive decision to move one small commercial break back just a hair so we can talk to Senator Lamar Alexander, who's on with us, and been a long time since we've seen him in the studio. Lamar, you don't call, you don't ride. We're very glad to have you on.
Yeah, been on a fishing trip with our friend.
I'm glad to be on. I've been listening. I've been on your hotline. I've called the other numbers. So I've been listening to your show.
Well, good. I'm glad.
You know, your point's right. We have term limits. We have to stand for election every 2 years, and we're in the House, and we have huge numbers of people retiring, so we have term limits. The voters can retire any of us anytime they want to.
Yeah, you can be retired.
Can be retired involuntarily or voluntarily, but the other side of it is occasionally you might like to have somebody in office who knows what they're doing. You wouldn't necessarily want term limits for your heart surgeon.
If you were
doing a good job, and if Tom Brady still can throw a pass, you know, you don't want to just retire him because he's 40. So I think it's better to assess who's there. I mean, for example, take the Chickamauga Lock. I've been working on that for a long time.
Sure.
And I pretty well know the system. And for the last 5 years now, we've been able to get funding for it, and we'll be able to get it rebuilt. I think if I hadn't been here and hadn't had my chairmanship position on the subcommittee, you wouldn't get the money. It wouldn't be rebuilt. So it's always good to have a chance to take a look at somebody who's playing football or playing basketball or serving in the Congress, the United States Senate, and say, okay, we don't think you're performing very well, so we'll try somebody new. I think that's the right way to do that.
Now, the particular piece of legislation that I'm holding in my hands right now, this is one that I saw a little write-up on in the Times Free Press earlier this week, and I was glad to get the call from your people. And it's the Restore and Rebuild Our National Parks.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of co-sponsors, pretty much from every state you'd like to visit. And the big deal is the fact that there is money that has been available that the park system has, for whatever reason, not been able to access, not been able to use, and still not enough. And the funding comes from revenues from energy production. So take just a second and dumb that down for us so we kind of really get our brain wrapped around it.
Well, you said it right, with one exception. It's not available now. What this says is when we do energy development on federal lands, like when we drill for oil or a gas pump or put up solar panels or even one of those big wind turbines and get royalties from it, that after we pay the first royalties to that are already obligated, that half the money after that is going to go for the national park backlog of deferred maintenance. Now, what that means is half of it's roads, but a lot of it's not. For example, at Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park, there's about $10 million in Tennessee, $23 million if you count the Georgia part, of just construction work, road work, maintenance work that there's no money to pay for. In the Smokies, it's about $215 million, 75% of which is roads. So we figure that over 10 years, this would produce about $7 to $11 billion, maybe enough to completely eliminate the backlog of maintenance in the national parks. And that's never really been done before.
I think actually I misread the in the newspaper article. I think the $11 billion backlog. Was what I
yeah,
read.
Yeah, backlog's
some,
the right word.
For some reason, yes.
Not a backlog of money.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought that was something that been set aside, but they couldn't get to it. Yeah. But no, that's projects that haven't been funded. Plain and simple.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's just sitting there, and there's not enough money to do this unless something extraordinary like this is done. So this could be the biggest investment we've ever made in the national parks since they were founded a century ago.
Now the parks also low hanging fruit and easy target every political season. I think that this particular president has already made some threats, of course, removed acreage from the national monuments and things of that nature. And a lot of people believe that, you know, I mean, libertarian mindset, that's the reason I could never go completely libertarian, is that I like my parks. And I know it's not a constitutional mandate, but by gosh, it's a good idea. It's one of the best ideas we've ever had. And when people want to attack them because they think it's a waste of money, I just sorely disagree.
Well, there are lots of people who agree with you. Like the Smokies have 11 million visitors a year, and that's a park that the people of Tennessee and North Carolina gave to the United States. I mean, that's unlike the Western parks like Yosemite and Yellowstone. We did that. I think most people think it's our park. We gave it to the country. We ought to take care of it. And taking care of it means paving the roads, filling the potholes, making the buildings, putting the roof on the sheds and the buildings and the whatever's there.
I want to run down some of the other co-sponsors, but very quickly, here in Chattanooga, we have the hotel motel tax, and it funds a lot of things, and it's a big pile of money, and it basically it's no skin off our nose. It's our visitors, and we're a tourist-based economy, and they pay for things that we need, and so people are generally cool with that. Maybe the way it gets spent sometimes, there's some question, but same sort of thing. I think the parks, if people think that it's wasteful and it's not congressionally mandated, blah, blah, blah. You know what? If this maintenance could be paid without it coming out directly of our checks and directly, you know, taxation on us or increasing the user fees, you know, dramatically, it'd be a lot less likely to cause any ruckus, I would think.
Well, I think you're right. And, of course, it will be paid that way because it will be paid only if we explore for energy on federal lands, sell the energy, and pay a royalty. Part of that royalty goes for the national parks. That's a pretty good principle. If you have an environmental burden, that's drilling or exploring for energy, then you ought to have an environmental benefit, that's taking care of the parks.
I was looking here at the folks that have signed off on it in the Senate. You've got Angus King from Maine. Tell me that when I hit a state that you say you have no desire to visit, Steve Daines from Montana, you got New Mexico, West Virginia, you've got North Carolina, Colorado in there, Idaho, one of the most beautiful states in the country, Oregon. I mean, it's the heavy hitters for the outdoors.
Well, a lot of them, and people forget that we have 417 different facilities in our national park system. Probably the park that's in the worst shape is the National Mall here in Washington, D.C. It would take nearly $700 million to keep it up because it has millions of visitors every year. You don't want to bring school children to Washington, D.C. to see our nation's capital and then, you know, go over and find a, you know, a cruddy-looking reflecting pool. And
I have seen it cruddy-looking, to be honest with you. I've seen it looking like it needed one of those little, you know, underwater
like,
Zumbas.
It looks like
in
that
there.
Today, by the way.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see trash all around. You want to see a nicely maintained park. But Ken Burns, who does all these wonderful things for PBS and says our national parks are our best idea, America's best idea, and I think most of us agree with that.
No doubt. Now, do you have anybody in the loyal opposition that is standing against the idea of this legislation?
Well, I haven't heard that. The opposition to it in the past has been spending the money in this way. The Office of Management and Budget that works for the president has always resisted diverting funds from those energy royalties for this purpose. And the big thing about this bill is that President Trump has agreed to do that. So he and his secretary, Zinke, who's a former SEAL commander from Montana, talked the Office of Management and Budget into approving this. So we've got the president for it, a bipartisan group of senators and House members. We have a pretty good chance of getting this done this year.
I was going to say, well, if somebody's got a problem with it, send Zinke down there, and he'll take care of it by
now. I think he may have arm wrestled the director of the Office of Management and Budget pretty bad to do this.
But Kevin West, spending money has to be a concern at some point to you guys. I mean, because you know, the last budget deal that you guys came up with to keep the government open and keep it running again, I mean, that adds to the deficit. Nobody seems to talk about that anymore. It's okay.
Well, that's not the problem. I mean, that part of the budget, which is the omnibus bill that we're working on this month too, is not causing the deficit. That's the part that pays for national defense, national parks, national laboratories like Oak Ridge. That's all been going up the rate about 1% a year, and even with the approved new funding that we have for this next 2 years, it'll only go up at about the rate of inflation or a little less. So if that were our only problem, we'd have no debt. That's less than 30% of the budget. The part of the budget that's busting the bank are the entitlements, the automatic spending, and that's what nobody wants to talk about. That's Social Security, Medicaid, welfare, all of those programs, they're going up automatically at a much faster rate than we can pay for them, and both parties are derelict in dealing with it.
The other senator from our fine state, former mayor, has decided he's not going to run again. He has been. Do you mind if I veer off down a rabbit hole just for 1 second?
Whatever you want to do, Spider.
We only got a couple of minutes here, and of course he obviously locked horns with the administration, the president, more than a few times, rather famously, and I've seen comments coming out of your office and some of the local congressional offices on this and that. I just want to get your take on what seems to be a very chaotic period during this very chaotic presidency, with flip-flopping in cabinet members and firings and the GOP kind of taking it on the chin, special election, the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's an adventure every day. There's no doubt about that. I say a couple of things, though. Once you get through all the adventure, number one, quite a bit's getting done. I mean, if you like a center right government, which I do, which means tax cuts, less regulation. This week we're getting rid of oppressive regulations for community banks and credit unions all across Tennessee. Conservative judges. We've got a proposal to reduce health care rates, which I'm trying to get in the omnibus bill to lower rates for the guy or gal who's making $60,000 a year and paying $25,000 for their health insurance because they don't get any subsidies. So we're getting things done. That's one thing to think about. As far as Senator Corker, I think some people might be surprised to know that I don't think there's been a single United States senator who's talked with President Trump more in the last month and a half, last year and a half, than Bob Corker. I mean, the president calls him regularly. He called him Friday to talk to him about what's happening in North Korea and about the Secretary of State. So one person told me that to understand Trump and Corker, you have to realize that one's a developer and one's a contractor, and that's just the way developers talk to contractors.
they speak their own language, there's no doubt. And I don't think either one of them mince words. Now, we're going to have to go to the news at the bottom of the hour. And yeah. Senator Alexander, thank you. I wish you the best of luck.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you. Thanks very much for your time.
Absolutely. And stop by sometime. We'd love to have you in the studio and take a few
phone
calls.
Thank you for the invitation. Maybe I can do that.